trapped. The word ran back like wildfire along the creatures packed into the escape tunnel, and panic took over in the dark, airless place.
We're all going to die down here! Help!
Oh, I knew we should never have tried to escape.
I can't breathe! Let me out of here!
At least we were alive in the stockade.
It's that Brown's fault, the stupid young fool.
Something within Keeler snapped. Suddenly the young otter was crushing and pushing, lashing out as he climbed over heads, squeezing and scraping past other creatures, bashing out with all paws and his rudder-like tail as he battled toward Brome at the blocked exit.
Get out of my way! I never came down here to suffocate and die! Let me by, you stupid snivelling monas!
Bullying and pushing, kicking and shoving, the resourceful otter strove on through the packed airless tunnel until he felt Brome's corsair rags in his paws.
Brome, what's the matter? Why can't we get out?
His face touching Keeler's, Brome yelled in the darkness.
We were nearly out, I'm sure of it, but the exit's caved in.
The otter pushed him backwards into the press of wailing slaves.
Get out of my way and give me space. I'll get us out of here.
With a surge of strength born of desperation, Keeler threw himself at the blockage, all four paws going like windmills. Despite the screams and cries of outrage from behind, he tore, bit, gouged, kicked, dug and flailed at the sandy earth as it sprayed around him in gouts and showers. His shouts could be heard throughout the tunnel as he flung his body forward.
Yeah! What do you want? Some beast to dig? I'll show you how Keeler digs. Like this and this. Whoa!
The otter's nose fountained blood as it struck a large rock. Keeler wrapped his whole body around it and yanked. Grunting and squeezing past the rock, he savaged the loose earth, scraping, biting and thudding until his head burst through into the hole on the shore between the rocks. Wriggling out, Keeler spat earth and wiped his mouth out with a paw. Chuckling quietly, he shook with delight.
Ha ha! Just shows what you can do when you feel like it!
Brome leapt from the tunnel, casting aside his disguise and hugging Keeler tightly at the same time.
Keeler, you rogue, you did it! You got us free!
Then it was Brome's turn to act sensibly. As he helped the first slaves out of the hole, he issues instructions to Keeler.
We were trapped down there quite a while. Time was lost and it's not long until dawn. I'm going to run to the camp and get Felder with some others to help. I'll bring them back as quickly as I can. You must follow my paw prints and move every beast along as fast as you possibly can. Once the fortress is roused, Badrang will have his horde out after our blood.
Dawn was crimsoning the grey from the sky as the ebb tide lapped gently on the shore. It was Bluehide's favourite time of day. He had catnapped most of the night through his sentry watch on the wall top of Marshank. Now he stretched gratefully in anticipation of breakfast and asleep until noon. Shortly his relief arrived, another ferret called Stumptooth. Bluehide passed the sentry spear over happily.
It's going to be a scorcher of a day, mate. You'll sweat up here.
Stumptooth took the proffered spear and leaned heavily on it.
Are you right there, Bluehide? 'Tain't fair, is it? Me standing up here on guard all day while those bone-idle slaves lie around the compound scratching their tails.
Oh, don't you fret your head about the slaves, Stumpy.
Bluehide began climbing down a wall ladder.
They're all down the prison pit. Half of them will be dead before the day's through.
Stumptooth was pushing past Bluehide on the ladder.
Slaves in the prison pit? I never see any. I looks down there every morning when I pass it.
Bluehide landed on Stumptooth's head. They bumbled down the ladder to fall in a heap at the bottom. Scrambling on all fours, they both raced to the pit. Bluehide's jaw went slack in dismay.
But they was there last night. I saw them go down with me own eyes. It was two of our horde put them down there.
Stumptooth was not listening. He was dashing for the longhouse, screaming...
Escape! Escape! The slaves alive escaped!
Badrang came thundering out, tripped over Gurrod's body, picked himself swiftly up, and kicked the carcass bad-temperedly.
Slaves escaped? How many? Where?
From the prison pit, Lord.
Prison pit? Who put them down there?
I don't know, sire. Bluehide was on duty last night.
But Badrang was not listening. He was dashing about the courtyard, yelling,
Hisk! Fleabane! Get the hood together now!
Half asleep, weasels, ferrets and rats stumbled out, pulling the clothes on as they trailed weapons behind them. Badrang was in a towering fury. He lashed out with the flat of his sword.
You hog! of bait, slobber-faced slugs! Move! There still might be time to catch those slaves! Stir your stumps, you useless bladder-brained beasts! Filling your stomachs and resting your heads is about all you lot are good for!
Hisk and Fleabane scuttled about, echoing the master's threats and insults, not quite sure of what they were supposed to do. The tyrant returned to Gurrod's carcass, obviously Clog had forestalled the assassination attempt. He would get rid of the body before Clog saw it and started gloating. Grabbing a passing rat, Badrang snarled.
You, Nipwart, bring that thing and follow me!
Nipwart struggled along behind Badrang, dragging the limp figure as he tried to keep up. With a frenzied burst of energy, the tyrant's stoat dragged the grating from the pit. Lying flat, he thrust his head in and could not fail to see the escape hole.
Here, Nipwart, leave the body there and climb into this pit. See that hole in the side of the wall? Get yourself in there and see how far it goes. Report back to me when you find out where the exit is.
Before going to attend his hoard, Badrang watched the unhappy Nipwart climb into the escape tunnel. When the rat was lost to view, Badrang pushed Gurrod's body into the pit and replaced the grating with a swift heave. Tram and Clog had been up and about before Badrang that day, anxious to know the result of his murderous plan. When Gruzzle and Boggs reported the finding of Oilback's body, Clog knew the scheme had failed. Hastily, they disposed of the poisoned rat, tossing him into the sea. Clog had his crew stand by fully armed, lest Badrang should come seeking revenge for the attempt on his life. Crosstooth the Fox took a swift glance toward Marshank's open gates.
Stand by, Captain. Here comes Badrang with trouble aplenty.
Tramon stood prepared as the tyrant and his horde pounded out across the shore. However, his keen ears caught the drift of what Hisk and Fleabane were shouting.
Double quit, you lot! Come on there! Lord Badrang wants every last one of those slaves back!
Aye, if you don't catch those escapers, you'll find yourself doing their work, so move!
Clog sheathed his cutlass, chewing thoughtfully on a beard plait as an idea formed in his sly, fertile mind.
Ho, buckles! Put up your weapons and follow me!
With a look of concern on his villainous face, the corsair ran towards Badrang, calling out aloud.
Ahoy, matey! What's the trouble?
The tyrant stoat halted, glaring suspiciously at Clog.
Didn't you know the rest of the slaves escaped during the night?
Horror and indignation stamped themselves on the corsair's features.
Why, the rotten bunch of scallywags! We'll never get me new ship built now. Badrang, matey, let's call a truce between us until we catch him. Which way do you reckon they went?
Badrang could not waste time bandying words with his old adversary. He realised he would need all the help he could get to recapture the slaves.
They've probably headed south and to the cliffs. That's the way we're going.
Clog stroked the blades on his chin thoughtfully.
Ha ha! Maybe that's what they want you to think, mate. Maybe they went north to fool ye. I'll take my crew that way.
Before Badrang could reply, Clog had hauled out his cutlass and was running north along the shore with his corsairs.
Come on, you flotsam! If you ever want to feel a deck in your paws again, you'll have to find them scummy slaves!
Badrang led his horde off to the south at a lively run. Nipwart emerged from the escape tunnel. Dusting himself down, he climbed onto the rocky outcrop to get his bearings. The tracks were clear. Shading his eyes against the morning sun, Nipwart scanned the shoreline. He saw the unmistakable form of a group in the distance. They were hurrying toward the cliffs. Turning round, the rat could see Badrang and the horde running in his general direction. Jumping up and down, he waved frantically.
Over here, Lord! I can save them!
Balor, Roanoke, Buckler and Feldo, in company with 10 or more of the most able-bodied free slaves, jogged along the cliff top behind Brome. Feldo looked grim as he muttered to the hare.
What a reckless little fool Brome is! He could have been captured at Marshank or smothered in that tunnel.
Balor hefted his lance lightly.
Matter of opinion, old lad. If you fail, you're a bally fool. If you win, you're a jolly hero.
Roanoke puffed along behind them, towing the cart.
Balor's right. I'd say if he pulls this off, he's a reckless hero. Who would have thought it, young Brome?
Brome stopped. Pointing down to the shore, he yelled proudly.
There they are!
Feldo's eyes roved further afield.
Aye, and look who's following on the double.
Roanoke gave a great groan of dismay.
Oh, there's far too many of them for us. Our only hope is to get those poor creatures onto the clifftop up here before the horde gets to them. Come on, let's give it a try.
Stout vine ropes were anchored to rocks and thrown over the steep cliff slope. Balor roared to the slaves, projecting his voice magnificently.
I say, you chaps, over here!
Feldo and some others shinned hurriedly down the ropes onto the shore and ran to help the stragglers. Buckler threw his paws about an old mousewife, glancing back at the pursuers.
They ain't coming on apiece, or you don't think us'n's all make it.
Badrang's paws slapped hard on the strand as he put on a great burst of speed, calling to his horde.
Come on! We've got 'em!
Old Guillaume grasped the rope. Gazing upwards, she pursed her lips.
I'll never be able to hold myself up there. What do you think I am, a young squirrel?
I don't know about a young squirrel, Mother, but you'll be a dead mouse if you hang about here.
Feldo threw Guillaume across his shoulder with a single heave and began hauling himself up the rope. Buckler and six others launched a salvo of short javelins directly at the horde. Four of Badrang's creatures fell. The rest parted ranks, spreading themselves to avoid being hit. All of the escapers were now on the rope, scrambling up the steep cliff face, fear of the pursuers and the scent of freedom lending speed to their paws. Feldo had delivered Guillaume and hopped back down without using the ropes. Now he was on his way back up with two small young ones clinging to his tail. Buckler and the others were backed up hard to the cliffside as the horde advanced on them. Two had been brought down by spears from Badrang's creatures. Roanoke looked worriedly down as she called to them.
Get on the ropes! Come up here!
Brome and those on the clifftops began hurling javelins and sling stones to cover their friend's retreat. Badrang dashed forward as Buckler began scrambling up the rope. He picked up a fallen javelin and hurled it. The mole cried out in agony as it took him through the shoulder.
Hold tight, Buckler, hold tight!
Roanoke bellowed furiously as she seized the rope in both paws and heaved mightily. Badrang leaped for the rope but found himself grasping dust. Despite the fact that there were six others climbing the rope above Buckler, the strength of Roanoke's tremendous pulls made the whole thing fairly fly up. She dashed backwards, muscles straining as she towed the taut fine rope behind her. It hummed and sang under the tension, sending creatures who were clinging to it flying along the clifftop on their stomachs. Balor pulled the javelin from Buckler's shoulder.
How are you doing, old scout?
The mole winced and smiled.
Take more than a little old spear to slay hoy.
Balor, they're climbing the other ropes!
Brom's shouts brought Balor to the cliff edge. Badrang was standing on the shore, directing his creatures upwards.
Get on those ropes! The rest of you start climbing! Come on! We can swarm them! They're too few to stop us! Move, you dolts! Get climbing!
Feldo pulled the last slave over the clifftop. Below him, he could see ferrets, rats and weasels scaling the remaining four ropes, whilst the rest were climbing up, spurred on by Badrang. Roanoke joined Feldo and stood watching.
Let them get a bit closer to us, then I'll move.
Move what?
Those four large boulders the ropes are tied to, of course.
Balor waggled his ears expressively.
Should give the rotter something to think about, what? Let's do it now before they get any further. I'll get all the gang to lend a paw. Right, gather round, chaps, and I'll explain the drill.
Badrang was about to mount one of the ropes himself when he heard the ominous rumble from above. Leaping clear, he shouted up,
Off! Get off the ropes! Back down, every beast! Quick!
Some of the horde were almost at the top. They hesitated, looking at the long drop to the shore. Others clung to the cliff face, not knowing what to do. Roanoke threw a great bulk against the first boulder. It rolled quite freely. Balor and Feldo had a thick branch under the next one. They levered down and the boulder began moving. Brome and some others charged the third boulder with the cart, setting it on the move as the stout little vehicle bumped it forward. Amid the screams and yells of panic as the first boulder came rumbling over the edge,